welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the midweek show where we discuss the week so far in technology, what's happened in the last 7 days, on a Thursday night, of course, 9:30 p.m, except it's nearly 10 o'clock, so we're a bit late. I'm joined by the fantastic crew of James Hart, top left. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Ewan. It's been a good Thursday. Thursday is now my official favourite day of the week, although friends of mine on Twitter have had pretty ropey Thursdays, so your mileage may vary.
Well, I'll be interested in what the chat room says, but I vote Thursdays as being a winner-winner chicken dinner for the big show. We like Thursdays. We've got that Friday feeling, but it ain't Friday tiredness.
Winner-winner chicken dinner. I've never heard that expression before.
Oh, well, you can't.
Never will again.
You cannot have not watched the film 21.
Obviously, I haven't.
You've got to watch the film 21. It's a quality film. Kevin Spacey, all about blackjack.
I'll tell you, I must have watched that 3 or 4 times.
I've got it on Blu-ray, and it's stunning. Love it to bits. That was Sarah Gray, out of order. Hello, you mate.
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Out of sequence.
I just spilled a load of water all over my desk as I said hello.
Out of sequence rather than out of order.
Sorry.
You're out of order.
You're out of order.
I'm Sarah Gray now as well.
And that was Ian Grant, but I haven't changed his name tag, so I'm useless.
I am Ian Grant
this evening. Tonight, Matthew. Mike. Mike Early, how you doing, mate?
You got there third time to charm. How are you?
Bugger. Yeah, I'm fine, mate. I'm fine. Long week, but a good one. And last but by no means least, bottom left corner, Eric Lanigan from sunny Petaluma.
Bringing
up the smiley rear. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
This show is starting very interesting.
Oh, man. Where's this whole... We're going downhill from here. I can't find you. Oh, here we go, Mike Early. There we go. You're in. Right, sorted. The week in technology so far. It's been a hell of a week. There's been Apple, of course, which we kind of talked a little bit about last week, and we talked a little bit about it on the Mac show. And then there's been a whole load of other stuff take place this week. Here in the UK, we've had a prosecution for using Facebook in a jury trial, and the defendant of that trial now has got 8 months in prison for tweeting out stuff on Facebook about the story.
Being an idiot.
Being kind of lame. Yeah, absolutely. It's a week where we've had a few tablet to-in and fro-ins. Is it Acer or Asus that have cut back? Acer. Acer have cut back on their tablet stock or estimations.
By 60%.
Yeah, which is pretty huge. And Panasonic have revealed a tough book. And we're going to have a little chat about tablets, I think, during the course of it. And Vizio have come out with something that's rather interesting. And you can no longer use the phrase, it's like trying to sell pay-per-view to China. Because Warner Brothers have decided that they're going to sell pay-per-view to China. I don't get that one, I have to say.
You need to work on your script writers, mate.
Why?
No, but I'd never heard of the phrase selling pay-per-view to China. No,
me neither.
I said pay-per-view, as in like to view paper.
Yeah, it's absolutely, viewing paper. What?
You can't sell paper to China.
No, it's
is it
like,
because of the culture of piracy?
Exactly, thank you.
As in no, not paying.
For God's sake. It's like selling pay-per-view to China. Because there's no market for it. There we go.
Got it that time.
But Warner Brothers are doing it. Bugger off the lot of you.
That was a good episode, mate. I'll see you later.
Right.
How about it's like selling Blu-rays in China?
No, you've ruined it now. I've had to explain it. It's not funny anymore.
It's like selling Hollywood certified, DRM protected DVD, Blu-rays, or other video discs in China or their nearby region.
Well, I think if you punch that up, mate, it might work. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
So, what should we talk about? I've got enough now. You can get stuff that was complimentary earlier. 8 months for a Facebook Inc. juror. Good, bad?
I think they were lucky to get away with that.
Say again, Sarah.
I think they were lucky to get away with that. I mean, it's black and white. You just do not do this sort of thing.
2 years for rape. 8 months for using Facebook in court.
Well, it shouldn't only be 2 years for rape. That's the problem, isn't it? But anyway, we're not going to get into talking about law.
We're not going to be here all night, we still broke the law. Yeah.
So contempt of court. Now, I don't know what the limits are for contempt of court, but she's got eight months anyway in prison for doing it. And she's tweeted about something about she's been involved with another defendant, or she was sending a message to another defendant in another case. So it's not just a case of you know, guess where I am. It is a bit more of specific information, I think.
Sorry, Jay.
No, you go for it.
I was going to say, it was actually deliberately contacting the person that was on trial, as far as I can, as far as I've heard.
Well, the whole case has collapsed. £6 million worth of drug casing gone out the window as a result. So 8 months seems pretty...
I mean, these are unsavoury people. You do not, any juror would be an idiot to go and contact these people. You know, I've been in a jury and I've seen people in the dock and I think to myself, when I go away from this place, guilty or not guilty, I never want to see them again.
Yeah. I've got this pleasure to come, by the way.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, really? You've been signed up?
I've never had to do it.
I have. I'm not going to say where or when, but it's not far, too far away.
I've never done it, I have to say. You know, what about jury service for you, Eric? Do you get collared with that in the States?
The one or two times I got it, I was in college. So my dad just sent back that I was in college and couldn't do it. So I have not done it.
But they still keep contacting you.
I don't think I've registered to vote in California yet since I moved out here. So I've got to get on that. I voted absentee in Florida.
So what about use of internet then in trials? Because as far as the press are concerned, there's precedent here in the UK for use of Twitter during a trial by one of the journalists.
That's acceptable or not?
It was acceptable. He specifically asked for permission from the judge and said that he was on Twitter and he wanted to Twitter out the things that were happening in the courtroom as they were happening. And the judge said, sure, why not?
The crazy thing was that it was only allowed for journalists.
Yeah, it was a journalist that did it. No, I'm saying...
Yeah, but the limit is that if you're a member of the public or certainly a member of the jury, you can't.
I think the public gallery, if you requested it, you possibly could be. But Sarah, James, you were going to say something. Yeah, go.
I saw this in the news earlier on direct.gov. It explicitly says, like, under your responsibilities as a juror, you must not discuss or post comments about any trial on social media websites like Facebook or Twitter. This is contempt of court. So I would assume if you were in the gallery.
Yeah,
that might even extend to there, even though obviously it's saying that they're rules for a juror. But if you're in the gallery, you know, you could just say whatever you like about what's going on.
I don't think I'd want to take the risk given this case.
James, what are you going to say there?
Well, I was going to say that there have been they're slowly, tentatively, and gradually moving towards the idea of televising trials, because at the moment all you get are these rough sketches. Well, actually, they're fairly good sketches of people that people have drawn during. It's like back in the 1920s as far as trials being carried out now, and the whole Twitter thing is one whole leap over this kind of gradual evolution. And frankly, it risks frightening judges off in that the whole motion of justice, such that it is, could be set just like in this case here. I think that he made an example of this woman in the jury to say no, doing anything that is in contact with the public at all is out of order, because we're still stuck in the 19th
century. Bad though, because it was the juror was in contact with the defendant.
Yeah, well, that's even that's pretty much the worst case scenario, isn't it?
Absolutely,
I hadn't seen this news story, so correct me if I have the story wrong here. I think what you're saying is that there was a lady who was a member of a jury who was told going in that, you know, you couldn't discuss the trial, you couldn't tell anybody about what was going on in the trial,
yeah.
And she started posting elements of the trial and information on Facebook and thought that was okay.
She directly had contact through Facebook with the defendant,
and she was probably told not to talk to the defendant at all, right?
That's the rule. But yeah. She was sent to jail because it was today she's been found in contempt of court and sent to jail for 8 months.
Which I think we're all saying is right. No one's debating that. But the question I was then was broadening it out. You know, where has social media got a place in a courtroom? It's definitely not in the jury. I think we're not going to debate that point.
I don't think social media has any different place than regular media.
Say again, Eric. Go on.
I don't think social media has any different place in the courtroom than traditional media.
So if you televise, then you can have anything else. But if you're not televising, then you shouldn't have anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, not obviously not every trial is televised because most are uninteresting, but I would think that if the rules are such that people could come in and, you know, sit and watch, or that the media would be allowed, that at that point you would allow people to tweet and stuff about it too, but not the jury.
Well, here's the separation for the US and England, because, of course, if you're in America, there are certain trials that are obviously televised. We think obviously of OJ and that kind of stuff with the murder case. But here in the UK, there has never been a televised jury trial or any other kind of trial. They might let you look at, there'll be television, like C-SPAN is for government inquiries or government committees, that kind of stuff, but you wouldn't get a trial. It's not allowed.
I think, honestly, if because obviously, as I say, I'm about to go through this process. If I was to find out that a trial that I was going to sit on was going to be televised, I don't think I'd be very happy about it. Because part of the thing about being a jury is the
I could just watch it at home.
Part of the thing about being a jury, Sarah,
is the anonymity.
Being a juror,
absolutely, yeah.
Eric, if you televise a trial in the US, you don't show the jury, though, do you?
That I don't know, but I interrupted. But I was going to say, you're going to televise anyway. I could just watch it from home. What do you need me here for?
Yeah,
just be a telejury.
I've never seen a juror on Judge Judy.
So. You know, that's the next step. You know why? What, you know, jury of your peers is like 10 or 12 people. Come on, make it like Dancing with the Stars. The whole country watches, and they call in and vote with their SMS messages.
I was going to say, trial by public is probably the worst possible case. Because all it takes is, the miscarriages of justice in that case are just rife, aren't they?
Absolutely.
One person ends
so
up in the
far
dock.
Off the deep end, it's comical.
Yeah.
I've got this title in my head now of like an elimination show called Bubba's Bitch. And whoever loses, you get a whole load of defendants up there, 12 defendants, and eventually you've only got one defendant left, and Bubba chooses who he wants to be.
And the whole thing is done on Facebook.
And it's done on Facebook. There we go. Yeah. It's perfect. It works just fine. We could have
Alan Sugar thrown in for good
measure. Alan Sugar is the judge.
I don't want to go there. I'm not going to say that because I don't want to get sued.
You could just see when someone, you know, one of the barristers stands up and says, objection. Oh, no, sit down. I don't want to go with that tut. I've seen that bit before.
Aaron Clayton suggesting a giant game of Wipeout. Total Wipeout.
Oh, that would be good. That's so much better television than what we've currently got. You take one format and you mash it with another. And there you go.
The point is, new life needs to be brought into, breathed into reality television. I think we've got something there.
You go down to Wormwood Scrubs and you set up a wipeout course, and the last bit of the wipeout course is the wall over to freedom. Only one, it's an elimination round. Yeah. Only one can make it. Well, there we go. I'm glad we had a sensible discussion about social media in the courtroom. And I think we've reached a conclusion.
Oh,
there
was
there,
a great
definitely.
Line. From ULT Games, you're fried.
Can I just say one more thing on this?
That would be an American only show, though. Of course, sorry.
Sorry.
We're saying about social media shouldn't be used by jurors. Obviously, I think that should be anyone who's involved in the case, whether that's witnesses, whether that's lawyers, the jury, the judge. If you're involved in it, you can't do that. End of. That's the discrimination. That's where you draw the line.
But if you're in public record, so you're a member of the public or you're a member of the journalistic team, then the proceedings are already being typed verbatim by I was going to say cartographer, but they do maps, don't they?
Stenographer.
Yes. I was moving on to cryptographer next, which is completely different. But
Stenhousemuir
photographer. And and then it's a matter of public record anyway. So, you know, tweeting it out kind of doesn't make a great deal of difference if you're in the
public. Unless there's opinion there.
Which there would be.
Well, opinion's still recorded.
This is why I think the demarcation should be anyone involved.
Yeah, you can't come in, giss your phone. What is this Twitter thing and who are the Beatles, says the chat room.
Absolutely, yes.
They're not bad. They're not that bad. Come on. What about the tablets goings on this week? You've had Acer downturning their estimations by 60%, says Eric, which is a pretty huge amount. Vizio are talking about coming out with a tablet which has got a fair old bit going on for it at $350-ish. And Panasonic have unveiled an Android Toughbook. How's the tablet market looking at the minute then?
Especially my boy bought a tablet off the eBay for 160 quid, and it's a running 2.3. It's one of these little 7-inch tablets. Runs really nicely. I was surprised how good it was. It's a capacitive touchscreen.
Is it a no-name brand, or is it?
It's a no-name brand. I quite like it.
Well, there's no name on it.
No, it's one of these very generic brands, but yeah.
Oh, it's like a readout screen from a BMW sat nav.
Yes,
that's been carved out.
It tells you about. Yes, it's got a sat nav on it, and you can tune a radio that doesn't exist, but that's all it does.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty limited functionality. When I've worked out the email, it'll be fine. What can you do on it then? I mean.
It's just like a seven. It's like a Galaxy Tab, except probably slightly slower. But you can play Angry Birds on it. He's got loads of games on it. You can watch YouTube videos. It's brilliant. Only 160 quid. So I'm wondering if this this Vizio one for $349, which is around about.
That's going to be 230 quid.
Yeah, about 200 quid. That must be a 10-inch tablet.
Now you're asking.
Because it's all about the size of the screen, the capacitive touchscreen, the amount of actual kit that goes into it. Because you can buy a 7-inch tablet for very cheap that does a reasonable job. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for the Samsung 10.1 to come out over in the UK. Having played with one, I was really impressed with it. But I mean, I've looked at those no-name 7-inch ones, and they're just a bit too small, really.
Yeah, the early reviews are loving the Samsung 10.1-inch Galaxy Tab. They're saying that's the current Android honeycomb tablet to beat.
Well, yeah, that's cool. The next half an hour.
Would that be because Samsung actually bothered to listen to the criticism of the 7-inch, or it's just because of the form factor? Because, I mean, the 7-inch really sucked.
It was just too small.
Yeah, well, it was like running Android 2.2, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's 2 points there. You're saying it runs Android 2.2, but I mean, there's good iterations of 2.2 kicking about. And James is saying it's only a 7-inch, but it wasn't the size that was doing the problem for me. Effectively, the use of the tablet, it just you weren't as connected to it as you felt you were with the iPad. You know, when you sit there and you move the iPad backwards and forwards, you feel like your fingers actually physically moving that page as a connected element. Whereas the 7-inch Galaxy Tab that I played with, I did something and it did something afterwards. Might have been microseconds at times. It might have been, you know, hardly anything, but it was enough to make me think it's not a good user experience.
Well, I don't know if you've played with one of the 10.1 Samsungs,
no, I haven't.
Eric, but the one I played with, it was it definitely had that iPad type experience.
Great. I mean, it's like, almost 6 months newer hardware and probably at a more expensive price point to begin with. So I guess they learned their lesson. They can't try to underpower a tablet because then it just makes for a bad user experience.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's, it's 8 inches. So it's in between.
Which one?
The Vizio tablet. Vizio Vizio. It's got an 8-inch with a widescreen aspect ratio. It doesn't have it. It's got a square aspect ratio to the screen.
I think that's too small. It's got to be at least 10, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
particularly that's good value for money, unless it's a real powerhouse.
But I mean, what they're saying here is that the standard thing to do with a lot of these tablets at 7 inches, you're measuring 7 inches diagonally, and actually that diagonally is kind of overemphasized because it's widescreen. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got a very narrow one dimension and very big the other dimension. This thing is nearly square.
Mm. I mean, the thing is, some of the phones now are 4.5, 5 inches, and I'm thinking, I don't want to buy another device. It's only a couple of inches bigger. If I'm going to go for the proper form factor that I'm going to use as a notebook or whatever, I want something that's at least 10 inches.
The thing that it says here, the first thing that you'll notice is the fact that it's the form factor. The Vizio comes with 8 inches, and the first thing you'll notice is that it doesn't have a widescreen aspect ratio. It's square. Now, the picture doesn't look square. The picture looks 4:3.
Yeah.
But it's saying it's square. Vizio didn't want people to feel like there was a right way to hold a device or a wrong way to hold a device. When you flip it over, it doesn't get top heavy. The next thing that they've done is take a long odd look at the UI, and they like Android, but they don't like Android UI.
Oh, this has been different.
Where are you seeing this? I can't imagine it would be square.
Why not?
Oh, here's a here's a video of it on a gadget. It looks four by three.
Well, Eric, yeah.
Well, the picture that I'm looking at is on the gadgets, and it's Vizio's.
Yeah, that's deceptive. If you click on the link in there to the Engadget article, you can actually see the video that Eric's talking about.
Right.
Yeah, the video is pretty clearly 4x3. But so, what do you guys think of the price point? And where do you think? So, as part of the larger tablet story, this is the first Android tablet that might come out. That's going to be about $349 if it can achieve rough feature parity and performance parity with the $500 tablets. That'll be the cheapest yet, especially if it has a large screen size and doesn't try to shrink the screen to, you know, like a 7-inch 16x9 kind of thing like the Galaxy Tab did. So it's an impressive price point to hit. Meanwhile, we see Acer cut back 60% on shipments of their Android tablet. And I quickly looked up a review, and the only bad thing I saw about it was that they said it was big and thick and bulky. Besides that, it was besides the weight and the heaviness, it's roughly equivalent to the other Honeycomb tablets on the market. And they cut back their shipment goals for this year by 60%, which is huge. Meanwhile, HP announces their touchpad. Well, they did not announce, but they put out some brand new videos recently. YouTube.com/HP Computers showing and demonstrating the webOS on this tablet. They don't mention a single feature that really differentiates it from Android or iOS. So what do you guys think? And what do you think about the future of tablets? Is it going lower? Is it going higher in price? What do you think?
Has to go lower. Well, it might peak for a while, but eventually it has to go lower.
Sorry, Eric, what was the question?
We just need some decent competition for the iPad and at lower prices, and that will start to bring the price down.
Yeah, I think tablets will go lower in price. I think they'll go lower and lower, and I think Apple will have to make a tablet that comes in lower than $499, because I think where tablets become really useful is as that secondary, auxiliary, ancillary screen. And right now, it's pretty much a high-end luxury. It's not a necessity. It's not even a computer that you can really bet on using for work purposes or productivity purposes. I think for most people, it's a rather expensive toy. And if they can get some work done on it, then that's really a bonus, because they got it to play games and browse the web in a neat little tablet form. So for that reason, I think people are going to be drawn towards cheaper and cheaper tablets. And I think it's going to take the ubiquity of tablets in like the $200 or less range, $50 10 years from now, in order to really have the that kind of Star Trek looking virtual tablet, of virtual paper pad that people had.
I mean, the thing you've got here is that there's two factors in that. You know, we've had the tablet that supposedly is fairly cheap in the Juju, which had a very low spec, and I don't think anyone really bought it, and they wanted you to buy it before they'd even manufactured it. We've had the supposed $35 tablet that's come out of India that's supposed to be just, you know, fine and dandy and does the job no matter what, and that could be what's being cloned, if you like, and pushed out to the cheaper tablets that are currently on the market. But, I mean, do we really want to be awash with cheap tablets?
Oh, well, no. If the question is, do we want the tablets to be worse than they are now? Do we want something slower than an iPad 1? I don't think so. I think iPad 1, I think Honeycomb tablets, I think those set the bar that you really can't go lower than that. People are going to try. They're going to have their $50 tablets at Walgreens, and they're going to suck, and no one's going to use them, and they don't have apps or anything because they don't even run properly. But I think going forward, that's going to set a standard where there will continue to be innovation with very low performance requirements. I mean, just look at how desktop PC requirements have really plateaued almost 10 years ago for web browsing, email. That's why tablets and phones can now compute the same way that the desktops could. It's because that amount of power is just fine for doing the common internet tasks that many people do, especially if more of that computing goes to the cloud. So if a tablet is a very cheap but high quality dumb screen connected in the cloud, and the really complicated stuff is done in the server or wherever, I think that's the future of a touchscreen computing.
Interesting you make that point, because netbooks filled that space briefly for a time. Now you've got the Chromebook, and now you've got tablets, and you kind of wonder which one of the two is going to sort of fight their way to success in that respect. Because actually, when you get a tablet, all you need is a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, and you've got yourself a little netbook. and a stand, obviously.
I think, you know, let's go back to a broader question about knockoff products. I mean, I went into the Apple store the other week to buy a bumper for my iPhone, and it was £26 to buy a rubberized bumper. I mean, the manufacturing costs on this thing would probably have been in the region of £2 at most, even with the buttons and that kind of stuff added to it. Guy over the road comes around the other day and he says, I got you one of these. I thought you might like it. There you go. And it's a rubberized bumper, identical to the one that Apple make for their phone. £5, Coventry Market.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the iPad we've got here, we've got one for about that on eBay.
£26 for this when someone's making it and selling it at the market for a fiver. Do I really want cheap crap? Well, this is cheap crap and it's adequate. Now, the problem I've got here is that the bit on the bottom actually doesn't fit the Apple standard dock, so it pushes it out. So I've got to sit and open up the plastic a little bit.
So you get for a fiver, Ewan?
Well, exactly. I might have to get the scalpel out and just trim a bit of the plastic away, but...
This is the only case that anybody ever needs, though.
Oh, the Angry Birds case. So my point is that there's a certain cutoff point where cheap and cheap crap is okay, and then when we say it's not okay... Now, if we're talking about tablets, do people want cheap crap that they can give to their kids and the kids think it's a tablet and it's okay to push them off? You know, like
I don't think I agree with you, Yum. You can buy cheap tablets for not much money. And in these days of austerity, people don't have a huge amount of money to be able to invest in toys. And I think actually buying something for 150, 200 quid. Yeah, you can get something reasonably not too crap for 100. I'd go upstairs and get my boy's little tablet. And he's really great. He loves it. And you don't need to buy the iPad. The problem is, and the chat room really does make the point, that if you show anybody a tablet, no matter what the manufacturer is, they'll say that's an iPad. It's a Samsung iPad.
It's got the jacuzzi branding.
Absolutely. Already. Whatever a tablet is, just like any MP3 players, if you've got your iPod with you.
Well, you know, to clarify my position, I don't think, I personally would not recommend any tablet cheaper than an iPad to anyone today. Maybe the Vizio will be the first that really does that, but we know the screen's going to be inferior. But I think that if you take the iPad as a base product, that the screen has to be this responsive, the animations have to be this smooth, the amount of software has to be this much. I think that if you just froze the iPad 1 in time,
if you can't afford an iPad, you shouldn't have one. If you can't afford an iPad, you shouldn't have a tablet at all.
I don't know what you do with it. I mean, it'd be a horrible browsing experience. The capacitive touchscreen would be, or the non-capacitive touchscreens are awful. They don't have any software for them at all. You know, what would you do with it?
Well, I've got one. It's great. My boy really likes it.
What's the name?
I'll go upstairs and see if I can find it. Hang on a second.
Righto.
It's probably non-branded.
We'll wait here. We'll talk amongst ourselves. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry,
mate. I know what Eric's saying, though. Because really, until we get an iPad killer that comes onto the market that's going to really compete with it, if you're going to do it, why would you go for a second-rate experience if you're going to get a tablet?
Said the Apple hater.
No, I know. I mean, yeah, I think the iPad is fantastic. I really do. And there is nothing to beat it at the moment. I'm just waiting for something to come along to beat it. And from what I've seen, I thought the Samsung 10.1 was the closest I've seen so far.
Mike, you had a point there.
I was going to say that it's probably what Alex is going to get is probably non-branded. I mean, there's a couple of electronics outlets here that do, like Maplin, which is an electronics retailer. We'll give you a 7-inch Android 2.1 resistive screen tablet for £90. So I mean, it's the possibility that yes, you could buy this maybe instead of a Kindle, and you've got a web browser as well as being able to download the Kindle app. It's cheaper than a Kindle. I mean, for someone on a budget, I mean, it's not the greatest, but it would do. I mean, because yeah. Someone you know is maybe on a budget like that. Doesn't really put a lot of their their disposable income into gadgets. They don't really care if it's resistive or capacitive.
Excuse me for doing a bit of wobbly camera work here, but let's see if we can just get James a little bit closer.
The thing is with that, though, I still come back to the fact that it's probably only a couple of inches bigger than probably
a phone.
The biggest screen on the biggest phone out there.
So which one is that, James?
I've got my phone and I've got my boy's tablet and. This one was 160 quid, and this is my phone, which cost 300.
Yeah.
And this is this is really quickly. Unfortunately, he's changed the bloody swipey code for it.
What's the name, James? Who makes it?
I can't find out because I'll reboot it and I'll tell you.
They're on brand.
Yeah, that's a mark of quality.
I know the kind of thing
like,
you
it
mean.
It looks like an iPad. It's even got a little little button at the bottom. Look,
Eric,
they're so good they don't even have to tell you they made it.
Eric, don't get pissy. It doesn't suit you. Oh yeah, camera's back to normal. No, I mean I think the thing is, if you look at MID. So wow. Everyone's now currently Googling MID tablet to see what best price they can get on Google Shopping.
That's a new one for me.
The MID tablet.
What version of Android is it running? And does it have the market?
It's running 2.3. It's got the market on it. It's a capacitive touchscreen. Plays Angry Birds brilliantly. Plays Alchemy. It's really good. Really is nice.
So it's actually fairly powerful, then, you're saying, as well, James?
Yeah, I think it's got an 800 megahertz chip inside it.
And it was 160 quid. So that's 200.
I'm going to see if I can find the link. I'll get my wife to send me the link that she bought it with.
$230. Aaron's very kindly placed a link in the chat room to a tablet. £62. The MID tablet is now only 62 quid. Did you say you paid 160 for it?
No, I think that one is the one with the resistive touchscreen. So you've got to watch. You really got to watch what you're buying when you get it. We were quite careful. We wanted one that running 2.2, and actually it came with 2.3, and it had half a capacitive touchscreen.
I was very careful about the cheap crap I was purchasing,
and it's got HDMI out. It's brilliant.
I didn't want to get the wrong thing.
I feel a little bit put upon now.
You're not as bad as your son. You've just run upstairs. Give me that tablet. Give it me now.
He's going to be really annoyed with me because I think I've probably locked it out.
Oh, dear.
I'm just really confused why I haven't seen anything like this in the United States.
Because you can afford proper tablets.
you're the world leaders, old boy.
I was going to say, your $500 for an iPad is not the same as the £500 for an iPad over here. That's probably why.
That is a lot more. That's like $3,000, isn't it?
No.
That's a slight exaggeration.
Hang on. Whoa, just a second. So let's just be careful. Before we start doing price comparisons on the websites and stuff, you've got VAT to go on top of that at 20%, don't forget, when they retail it, which you've only got a sales tax in. I think the worst sales tax in America is about 9%, isn't it? California's 9%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
9.5%, I think.
Okay, well, 9.5% is the worst sales tax probably that you can get in the States, and that's half of what we're paying in sales tax at 20%, more than. So there's that to go on top, plus there's an import charge on top of that as well. Customs and excise are taking a bit of a cream before it goes off for the VAT, man. So on that basis alone, and then the exchange rate, you'd probably find we're paying a shade more than America is pre-sales tax.
Well, I think there might be something. There might be some kind of conspiracy or something weird going on, or just they can't get a sales channel here or something. Because I'm not trying to be a brand elitist or a price elitist. I'm just saying there's a baseline experience, the responsiveness of the screen, a level of speed, a level of features. If they can do it cheaper, that's fantastic, and I would look at that seriously. I just wonder why, if they can make a tablet that cheap, we don't see those here. Instead, the cheap tablets that we know in this country are horrible. Whereas, from what James described, that sounds pretty decent.
James, you're saying that's pretty decent.
This is really... I've just put a link on the website. I'll give you the spec. It's running 2.2, 10 points. It's running a Samsung 1 gigahertz processor, supports flash 10.3, 2 megapixel camera, 8 gigabytes of memory.
That's incredible. And is the it's a Google device. Does it have the words Google printed on it? Or you think the access to the Android market is kind of a hack?
When you boot it up, it comes up with Google. It's running Android 2.3.
What size is that?
This one's actually a 7-inch.
7-inch Google tablet, 2.2 Freo, tablet PC with multi-touch capacitive touchscreen, flash 10.3 supported with latest version, supports BBC iPlayer and YouTube, working Android Market, Samsung 1 gigahertz processor, 2 megapixel camera, and an 8 gig of RAM. There you go.
That's pretty impressive.
£164.99, which is going to work out about $250.
And what does your son like to do with it? Is he mostly like play videos, or I mean, how is it as a gaming device?
Angry Birds has got to be good.
Yep, he can do all of those. He really likes it. He loves to watch YouTube videos on it.
Decent reviews as well. It's saying Maxis in the chat room says he's read the reviews and they're good. You need to add a good review, James.
Oh, I should do actually. Yeah, good point.
It's reviews are important.
There we go. That's not my cool thingy though.
No. Very well chosen. Your cool thing is carrot soup, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, carrot and coriander soup. Best before July 2010. Really nice.
It was really nice, even though it was a year out of date. Oops.
There's an online store that sells out-of-date food. Well, not out-of-date, but non-best-before-date food. They check and make sure it won't kill you, and then they sell it for really cheap.
I mean, there's an interesting thing as well, I think, with the... and what I think is interesting is never what anyone else thinks is interesting. I do accept that. But the Panasonic has revealed the Android Toughbook slate for Q4 of this year, and it's supposed to... I've had a look at the was it the Toshiba Toughbooks, the Panasonic Toughbooks, the actual laptop Toughbooks. We used them on a project a few years ago.
Brilliant.
And they were great. They were really, really good. I mean, they're very, very solid, and they've got platter off technology as well if you drop them and that kind of stuff. So the fact that they're bringing this out, is there an issue that we think that have people given up trying to compete with the iPad? It's kind of, it's done the market, it's cornered it, it's got the in with the App Store that no one else can compete against. So what we're going to do is go for the cheap end of the market, or we're going to go for the specialized end of the market for industrial use. And, you know, kind of like the Motorola side and the Scion side are saying, right, well, we're not going to try and compete with the iPad. We're just going to focus on what we do, which is to sell to businesses with niche products.
I think that's smart. I think that you're best off finding a niche. Just go for the niche, because otherwise you end up being compared to the iPad. And if you've got a niche, then the comparison is different, because, you know, it's difficult to compare all of the Toughbooks features to all of the iPad's features, because they have a different subset.
You know, I think Android tablets are very soon going to become a commodity product, just like desktop PCs and laptops. Mm-hmm. Anything running Windows is basically a commodity product. That's, you're getting almost the same thing from any vendor, with many of the same parts inside from the other same vendors. So there's really not much of a difference besides price and maybe some cosmetic differences. And I think that'll eventually happen with the Android tablets. However, I think we have not yet reached the point in terms of what the software can do, what Android 3.0 and 3.1 can do, Honeycomb. Mm-hmm. We haven't reached the point of what the software can do, like the aftermarket third-party software you can buy and the prevalence of the software. And we haven't reached the price points yet to make these things commodities. So I think it will eventually happen, but I can see why right now, from what I've heard from everybody, and I've played with it a little bit, but I've not owned one or played with it for too long, but I've heard that the Honeycomb, especially 3.0 and the Motorola Zoom experience, still leaves a lot to be desired. It's not as polished and slick and fun to use as an iPad. Apple just has put more polish. They've had longer to spend with it and perfect it and work on it and get everything just right. Whereas with the Android stuff, you get like some of them have lower frame rates because it's not optimized for that particular hardware, and different things don't run as well on that. And the browser's a little bit different, and they try to load some crapware onto it or something that the carrier, if it's a 3G one, gives you and so when you've got HTC and Acer and just every freaking company in the world making these, but none of them are really quite as good as the iPad for the basic general purpose user, I can see why they're cutting back on shipments. But I think over time that'll change.
I think everyone else agrees with you there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what's the market separation then for the tablet market? I mean, are we saying that you know, there is a tablet market for kids, there is a tablet market for 20 and 30 somethings, there is a tablet market for 40 and 50 somethings, there's a tablet market for old folk, or are we saying that everyone is the broad spectrum of the tablet market? Because I don't think there is a tablet market that is broad spectrum.
Well, the interesting thing right now, and this is why I always ask people what they use their tablets for when people are very gung-ho about the tablets, I ask what they use it for, because I have a feeling that Apple is selling more of these iPads on the basis of games and fun than they are on work and productivity. But we all know from PCs, you don't need the same kind of performance in a work and productivity, you know, book reader or email device that you than you do for games. So I think the idea that the productivity in the basic web browser is also a very capable game playing machine, that may not last forever, or it may, if that's really what if that's really the reason people are buying tablets, so they can suddenly be playing a game wherever they are.
Anyone else? What is the tablet market? Is iPad just the universal brand? And if anyone wants anything else, they've got to focus on kids 20 to 30s, 40s to 50s, or old age pensioners. Because I've seen my father sitting down with his iPad that my mum got him for his birthday, and he's largely lost with it. You know, he's worked out to play how to play Mahjong on it. He's worked out how to play Solitaire on it. And beyond that, pretty much it's not really worth anything to him. Apart from the form factor size of James's 7-inch tablet, the computability and power of that tablet would be tenfold what my father would need. So,
absolutely. The point is, you've already got it on your mobile phone and you've got that carried around with you. What you really want to be able to do with a tablet is some of the things you can do with the iPad, and I don't think you can do with Android tablets here. Make music, process photos, edit videos, do really cool creative things with it. Have it as part of your creative life. At the moment, the tablet is a consuming device. It is for enjoying videos, playing games on, and just sort of a leisure device. It's not really kind of even a leisure productive device, certainly let alone a work productive device, device. Most of my colleagues at work now have work iPhones because they connect to the work email. They're just like pretty much the evolution of the BlackBerry. And it's really strange how the ecosystem has moved towards iPhones, because I guess you can do cooler stuff with it. But there isn't the move to having, I've been to one meeting in the last month where somebody's brought an iPad in, and frankly, they looked like a bit of an idiot with it.
Now, I mean, that's interesting you say that, but that's my point, is that's the 20 to 50 somethings market.
It's not, apart from mucking about with it, that's where you are with that. And older than that, I don't know, it might as well be a very nice paperweight.
See, if anyone's
we've actually been trialling the iPads at work for senior staff, and it does actually, with a lot of configuration and playing around with it, it does actually work.
Yeah, but it's interesting how you phrase that, because I suspect that a lot of the people who are trying to use iPads for work are really kind of bending over backwards to justify the purchase of the iPad. Because I've seen people sit and try to take notes by pecking away at the little screen. And I'm just thinking, dude, you could type so much faster on a little laptop, a little netbook style thing with a real keyboard. But I know
it's funny,
I can.
It's funny you should say that, because I've been having this conversation in my head this week because I'm getting so fed up. I want something for taking notes in meeting, and I'm getting fed up of having to wait so long for something other than an iPad. And I'm starting to think, well, why don't I just get a netbook? It'd be a lot cheaper and do everything I want. And I'm already starting to think, well, what's the point? Because that's primarily what I want it for work, for taking to meetings, and you know, as long as I've got Wi-Fi and things like that on it, that's fine.
So what we're saying is that the iPad is a 21st century Filofax or time management planner that's been purchased by purchasing for them.
That's a lot of the reason, I think, and that's one of the reasons that the iPad is catering to an older... I actually... Tell me if you know the demographics on this, because I don't, but I think what I've heard is that older people... It's popular with older people, and it's popular with young kids, because I think the kids are buying it to play games, and the older people are buying it because they have more disposable income to play with it and see, you know, it's magic, it's new, and well, I can justify it because I can do my schedule on it, you know. And I think there's this middle group of working individuals who don't really have I don't have one. I don't have a tablet. I have no reason to have a tablet. If I traveled more, I might want it as a game machine or just something to play videos on. But hey, my MacBook Air, this screen stands up on its own, and it's 16:9. That's far superior to the iPad in that respect.
I think the thing is, that's fine, Eric, for you. But if you are recommending to somebody who maybe it's their, their first computer, who's not necessarily into technology, but wants something to do email and surf the web. This is where I think if people got the money, the iPad is superb. I mean, you know, everyone joked about the fact, oh, Sarah's bought an iPad. Well, my housemate who did buy it, that was my recommendation because it was all she needed and it works perfectly for what she wants. And, you know, if my mum was going to say to me, Sarah, I want to buy a new computer, that's exactly what I'd recommend that she buys.
Right. Sure. You want to know the demographics? Here you go. And I didn't know this. I've just Googled this while you guys were talking there to find it out. And I don't want to say I told you so, but the 21 to 50 group age market is 83% of total iPad ownership. You've got 13% at 55 plus and you've got 8% under 20s. So that's my point, is what I'm saying is there a broad spectrum market base?
So I was quite wrong on that.
It sounds
like I was completely wrong on that.
No. No one's saying you were wrong. I was saying I was right.
Well, I think it's the opposite. Well, I'm trying to figure out for my own purpose. I mean, I think I was wrong on that. I think you're saying that it's the huge spike in the bell curve is in the middle age group,
20s to 50s.
Yeah, and the older folks and the younger kids are actually not. So that is interesting.
So what I'm saying is there, if you look at your market, if you have any product that you want to sell, you pick the age group, you pick the market group that you want to sell to, and it's the demographic splits by an awful lot of other things other than age. If you look at the iPad or you look at any tablet, I'm questioning, is there a tablet which is all things to all people? And the iPad is the closest that it gets. And yes, actually, that's not totally true because the 20 to 50 demographic is 83% of total sales. So the tablets for kids market is vast. In the UK, that is 12 million sales. And if you're talking about the sales market for the 55 pluses, now you're talking about the baby boomers. And the baby boomers are going to be in the region of 20% of your population, 18% of your population, something like that. So there's a huge market in both ends of that spectrum that the iPad is not tapping.
Interesting. Although Maxine in the chat room pointed out that a lot of those adults who have iPads probably let their kids play with it, but then that wouldn't show up on a survey as them owning their own iPad.
See, I let my kid play with my iPad, but I don't like letting him play with it. I would much rather do what James has done and give their kid his own tablet at 160 quid. And if he drops it whilst running around with it, I couldn't care less.
Here's the interesting thing. Ewan, just like you said, right now, the iPad is pretty much trying to be and fairly succeeding at with its market share to be all things to all people. It is the universal omni tablet. It plays games. It does mm-hmm. business apps. It's any all the software you can buy. It slices and dices vegetables. I mean, it does everything. Whereas the only thing, and of course, it's magical and it's revolutionary and it's beautiful because Apple made it. And Apple is the brand to beat right now. They're your BMW. They're your Ferrari. They're the designer fashion brand. Whereas you look at the other brands, which are like your Kias, your Fords, your Hondas, even if you want to talk about like Acer or something. All they have going for them right now is it's not made by Apple, you know? So it right now they're attracting a very small number of, you know, Apple haters, people who for whatever reason don't want to buy an Apple product on that basis alone, because by themselves, they don't yet have compelling reasons to be chosen over the Apple product. They don't have the complete integration. They don't have the gigantic software library. It's not like the Xbox where you buy a game and it's guaranteed to run as best as it possibly can on that hardware. It's more like a desktop PC where it's up to you to tweak the settings and turn down the graphics and turn down the texture detail and stuff in order to tweak it and get it just right. And the frame rate's still going to be choppy, but you know, because it's a commodity kind of thing. That's why when you look at the HP videos of their stuff, they don't say any reason that why you would actually want an HP touchpad over an iPad. They don't even pitch it. Okay, they're great. They've got email, they've got calendar, they've got a web browser and multitasking. So does the freaking iPad. So they're going to have to come up with something better than the way Apple does it for the mass market and not just Android fanboys and Apple haters to really seriously go after these things.
So they need a USP.
And then either that or they need to flood the market.
I think ain't going to happen.
HP's USP
too late.
Doesn't necessarily work because they've got quite a lot of integration with the Pre. But for that to actually be a selling point, you have to already own one, and the market isn't massive. I mean, there's a lot of things, like, for example, if the touchpad and the Pre are in the same room together and you get like a text message on the Pre, then you can respond to it from the touchpad, which is, I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but it's something that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it relies on you already having that device, and so it's not
the thing that's going to make that not work, that it not work for HP. As I've said before, with WebOS, there isn't many apps, nowhere near enough compared with on the iPad and on Android.
And yet its greatest possibility of success is WebOS, because of the integration ability between desktop, tablets.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a great OS. I mean, obviously, you know, I used it for a year and a half on my Palm Pre, but I got so sick of the fact that there was apps that I knew were on Android or on an iPhone that I couldn't use because they weren't being developed for WebOS. And ultimately, that's why I gave it up. The device itself was great. The WebOS is fantastic.
I think.
Can I just come back on a point that you raised a couple of seconds ago, Sarah? Because you said that it's too late for Android tablets to take over from the iPad. And I would suggest that when the iPhone first came out, there were no Android phones. And now Android phones are outselling the iPhone.
Yeah, no, that's not what I meant. But yes, tablets. I agree. I mean, earlier on, I was going to say that, you know, I don't think it's too late.
All right.
You know, Android is going to, in terms of apps and everything else, is going to overtake, you know, the App Store.
And sales of the iPad?
I don't know.
I think it will.
From a device point of view, that market is very well sealed up by Apple at the moment.
I think it's still early days. Don't forget that just on the iPad still, when the iPhone 2 came out, you had the first movements of the Google what's it called? The Google G something or other. G1?
G1?
G1, first Google phone. That was a big thing. It was the first Android phone out. And just think how many there are now. HTC have got a range bigger than I can't even name all the ones that HTC are doing now. And basically, when they've got this number of ranges of things, and even non-branded stuff, I think Android could, because it's an open platform, because people can just throw stuff at it. I still think, and if they can do it at a competitive price, because I still think price matters a lot. I still think it could overtake the iPad. Not because necessarily the iPad is any better, is any worse than it. It's just the fact that people will capitulate to the slightly cheaper but reasonably good offering. It encapsulates Eric's point. Exactly. Nothing will match up to the iPad, but people will still buy it because it's a bit cheaper and it's all right.
The market is gone almost.
I agree. I think that we're going to see exactly the same thing that happened with desktop computers and laptops. You know, Apple doesn't make a computer, a full-featured computer, let's say a laptop, cheaper than $1,000. Of course they could. Of course they could. Most PC laptops are less than that. But people are buying the Apple stuff in droves. Meanwhile, the Acer had to just cut even like 20% of their PC and laptop shipment estimates.
Let's face it. Apple could make a can opener, and if it's got the Apple logo on it, there's a lot of people that would actually buy it. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the Apple brand is what, you know, that's what they're so successful about, and that's why they sell these devices.
Right, but with that
Kevin
brand,
the chat room wants one already.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, they've got it sussed, completely sussed in terms of, you know, you're going to know if you in a chat room or whatever, if you start having a go at Apple or whatever, you get these, you know, there's so many Apple fanboys. I'm not knocking them, you know, that's fine. If they, you know, they like it and they buy into it, that's fine. But that's the whole point, is that Apple have got that really spot on, and that's why, as I say, they could make a can opener, and if it's got the Apple logo, they, you know, it could be a garbage bin, whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, they could if they had the Apple logo on, and people would buy it.
Carl in the chat room has branded it perfectly. It would be the eye opener.
I agree, Sarah, except that's kind of what I was saying, is that, you know, they're not going to, because they have arbitrarily set the standard that they're going to be like BMW.
Absolutely.
They make high performance, high value luxury machines, so they're just not going to ever go down in price.
Yeah, that's why they won't, because they've got the branding sorted out.
On that
they
note,
don't need to. You know, people will buy the brand. They don't need to. They can sell the iMac for a minimum of $1,000. It doesn't actually matter.
And so to clarify, I just want to say, and then I'm done, I promise. I think that the biggest competition for Apple will be on price, and that will ultimately be, once they iron out the couple of kinks in the way Android works and the OS itself, and figure out what a tablet should be, and you get to become a commoditized product. I think just like desktop PCs, the price will be the biggest reason that they have competing with Apple, price, as well as like people who really can't, for whatever reason, live in the Apple operating ecosystem, software availability, customization, things like that, customize it for business. Ultimately, yeah. It's gonna take a while, because right now we're seeing very few of them can even beat Apple on the price yet. They haven't yet, yeah. Really, a lot of these. Galaxy Tab was super expensive when it first came out, and the Zoom, a lot more expensive. So once that all happens, then I think eventually, a year or two from now, they'll be competing mostly on price.
I think they won't. I'm sorry to say, liar, liar, pants on fire to that one, but I think they caught. I think Apple caught a cold over the Snapdragon processor at 1.2 gigahertz, which is why they came out with the A5. And I think Apple are going to maintain their price separation regardless, and they're going to do it based on upping power rating. They will not change their price down, and they will not suffer competition as a result, because they'll keep, as Sarah says, they'll keep the branding high and they'll keep the power ratings high, and people will always be looking at it going, "Oh, I could get cheaper tablet, or I could get more powerful tablet," and they'll go with more powerful every time.
Oh, that is what I said. I don't think they're going to go down in price. They may make some kind of sub product that's like a $150 thing years in the future that just reads books or something, yeah, but doesn't do apps and games. But they're not going to try to make something that is as full featured as the iPad. They're always going to have a barrier to entry.
And the key part of that is that you look at the demographic of the sales at 20s to 50s, 83% of the total market is in those bands. That's because that's where the huge disposable income is to suffice and fulfill that addiction.
By the way, I won't say anymore, but just to throw a grenade into the room, I think the golden price for tablets that we will hit in a few years, and this is when they will take off, $199.
No, that could work. But Clara in the chat room saying Carl saying, of course, you've got to realize it could be completely short-lived. The tablets could die out as fast as netbooks.
Yeah, if the next big thing is even bigger.
Fair point.
$800 tablets will die out.
Size of an A3 piece of paper.
Final words got to go to the chat room.
A3.
If there's a fake eye opener, or will there be a real eye opener? That's the title of the show, I think. Real eye opener. Right. We've got to give a word over to our sponsors. We've got some fabulous sponsors this month, which is for the next few months.
Are we doing cool thingies now or later, Ewan?
We're doing them after, mate. Don't worry, I won't forget you. And I'll remember to ask who you are. You can police me this show. I promise. I cocked up everything the last 2 weeks. It's up to you guys. UK2 are our hosts and bandwidth providers. They've got fantastic packages available for you at the moment. There's some really good deals, full stop, on price out there. But the added benefit is, if you listen to Bagel Tech News and you've got the offer code, then you can get 15% off the standard retail price of items. So all you've got to do is go and buy whatever you want to buy from UK2.net. You must make sure that you come to our website first, bageltechnews.com, and then scroll yourself down to the bottom, and there's a UK2 logo on the left hand side there. Click on that and they'll know that we sent you. So we get credit for it. We don't get money for it. We just get the credit, the kudos. And then when you buy something, they'll know that you've bought it through coming through us. And then when you use the offer code BAGELTECH, that will work as well then. And it will wipe 15% off your total bill price. And it doesn't matter what you're buying. You can buy co-location services, VPS servers, anything you damn well choose. And it's 15% off just because you listen to Bagel Tech News. The offer code is BAGELTECH, all one word, no spaces. So please, give them a try. If you do nothing else, even if you just want to sign into your account, go and use the UK2 logo on our website. And again, they'll know you're an affiliate to us, and we'll get credit for the affiliation. They won't. They'll know that you haven't purchased anything, so don't worry about it. But please, please, please click that link. Stop whatever you're doing now and click that link. It makes an enormous difference to us. Special thank you as well to people that have left reviews in iTunes. Loads of people have left loads of reviews about all of the shows. really, really grateful, and it makes an enormous difference to the search rankings for us. So if you type in tech news, we come back that much higher just because you guys have left us a review. And also in the charts, when we get into the charts with shows, it means we stay in there longer when we've got more and more reviews. So if you haven't done it yet, please join all the other people that have done it and give us some reviews in iTunes. It doesn't matter, I'm not going to tell you to write nice stuff. You can write whatever you want to write, but please, please, please give us reviews, because it makes a huge difference to us. The final thing that we've got to do is talk about the sponsors of our video at the moment, and that's Wirecast. Telestream are the company that make Wirecast, and they've given us 4 copies to give away across the next few months. So this month's competition is simply you have to send us an email and you have to say, I deserve a copy of Wirecast because I'm Eric Lannan and I paid $499 for it, and I'm really gutted that you're giving one away free. And that would be good enough to get you the copy, you see. You only have to be witty and to the point. But write something else, eh? I deserve a copy of Wirecast because. If you click on the Wirecast logo on the homepage, then that'll open an email up for you with the correct title and everything, and all you've got to do is fill it out with a reason why. And we've had a couple of doozies, so the bar is set high. Please send in your entries. Have we got any cool thingies then, everyone? James, would you like to start us off?
I found one this week that I was quite amazed at. It's an Android app, and it's a heart rate monitor. I don't know if anyone's seen this, but what you do is you hold it up to the light, or if you've got, I mean, my phone hasn't got a flash on it, and then you put your finger over the lens of the phone, and it works out what your heart rate is by the amount of movement of the light. And you see, I've got a heart rate of 72, see what I mean? 78. Isn't that amazing?
God. And how's it doing that?
Because the vein, that it detects the veins pumping blood.
Right.
And the changes in light.
Through your finger.
Through your finger, pulses, and tells you what your heart rate is. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know, James. That's on a VGA fixed focus lens.
No, it's autofocus. It's
can only be a rough guide. It can't be that accurate.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, it's now saying 41, dude. So are you?
Well, no, because I haven't got it on the light properly. It's going to tune itself. It was 78 a minute. Going on.
That was because you were getting excited about it.
Absolutely, I've chilled out now. I've got to reset it, but it works. Try it for yourself. If you've got an Android phone, it's called Instant Heart Rate, and it works. I was blown away by it, and it's free.
Well,
I like free stuff.
If it's free, who cares?
Absolutely. Just, if it doesn't work, it doesn't make any difference. Exactly. It's not as if it's going to be by your bedside in the hospital.
Watch out for the root kit that's in it underneath. That's going to take your credit card details and your IMEI number. But
read the details before you download it.
Max, so you've got the chat room going already. So that's 2 things tonight. Everyone clicked and everyone's sharpening their credit card for the tablet, and now they've got and there's an iTunes version. Thank you very much, Kev. iTunes. It's called Instant Heart Rate Free. There we go. I'll try and download it while Mike's doing his pick. What have you got for us, mate?
I've got an iOS app as well, as I usually do. This is a game called 7 Little Words, which is like, it's kind of like the natural iOS enhancement to a crossword puzzle. You get 7 clues, which are your general cryptic clues, like portable canopy, 8 letters. And what you get instead of like a crossword grid is chunks, so little sections, so it might be 2 or 3 letters in little squares. And what you have to do is select a combination of the letters to make up the answer to the clue. Does that make sense?
Right.
I'll show you what it will look like. See if that...
Can't you just write umbrella?
No, you have to choose it from the chunks. Sort of like the custom keyboard chunks.
Oh, it's free. Fantastic.
Yeah, and you get, I think, 50 sets of 7 letters for free, and then you can buy additional packs. It's a really, really fun game.
Good. Choosing chunks sounds like a Friday night down the pub. But
Yeah.
Sounds like when you get home after Friday night.
Exactly.
Or the clean up the morning after.
Oh, dear. That's what I'm saying. Moving on. Sarah, what have you got for us?
My cool thingy is something I've been playing with for the last couple of weeks. It's a feature of the new version of Firefox called Sync. I don't know if any of you guys have played with this, but I've been using it since I downloaded Firefox onto my Nexus S. I've actually been able to sync all sorts of bits and pieces, including bookmarks, between all my browsers on all my different devices, and it's fantastic.
Haven't they got a version of Firefox that's specifically made for Android? Isn't it the weird coyote-looking thing?
It looks exactly the same. It's got some features that are a little bit... take a bit of getting used to, actually, on the phone, but once you get used to it, it's fine. And I just love being able to save bookmarks on my laptop and then, you know, reading whenever I'm in the car or on the bus or at work or whatever at my leisure. And that's just something that's just, I know there are things out there to do it, but I just love the fact that it can just, I don't even have to do anything special other than bookmark it within Firefox on my laptop, and I know it'll be there.
Good, excellent. Free?
Very neat.
Of course.
Because it's built into Firefox for a standard.
Right, jolly good. And Eric, I know I ruined it last week for you because you had a pick and you didn't get to do it, but have you got one for us this week or not?
Nope.
Okay, my cool thing is the BlackBerry Playbook, because I just feel sorry for them.
Oh, they didn't hardly got a mention, did they?
The BlackBerry Playbook is given out and run around like a leprosytic dog. you can't give it away. O2 don't want it. Nobody wants it. That's a shame. The bad news, James, is
I hear they give them away free and Happy Meals now.
The only people that could get to take it were Kellogg's. And you need to collect 20 tokens to do it.
Very good.
I've got the one down for iOS, and it's bloody good. There we go. Look, I look like I'm quite fit actually. Resting pulse of 69, don't I? Especially while I'm live on air and under stress. Because I'm desperate.
Where should a resting pulse be?
70.
You don't sound like you're stressed, Mr. Rankin.
Well, it has to be said. I don't get stressed about a great deal. Oh, I'm 184. 62, 63, 64. Yeah, I've got to say, actually, it's kind of blippy, but it's not bad.
It's still very impressive.
All I would say is, if you think that somebody's dead, don't use this as your test for that, I think.
Let me guess. It's categorized in the entertainment category.
You press enough buttons, it makes a fart noise.
My cool thingy is a bit of a steal, unfortunately, because it comes from last week's Mac show. Andy Stevenson's Dr. Happy Mac came out with a program called Flick Football, and I went and had a play with it, and I've got to endorse it. Basically, it's a thing here where you just get it and you flick the screen. And I can't know if I could play it in reverse, but there you go. You just shoot with your finger by swiping it up the screen, and it's bloody marvellous. Right, so I'm going to endorse Andrew's pick by saying you should have got that if you didn't, but my pick from that is that when I typed in Flick to try and find Flick Football, what I actually came across was Flick Golf, and it's Flick Golf HD for the iPad.
Fluff.
Flick Golf HD for the iPad.
Fourth.
And I've just realised that the iPad's about as wide as I can manage to hold with one hand. I'm quivering a little bit. But we'll go to Quick Shot and just get the simplest one up. There we go. Cal bugger off, Game Centre. I hate you. And it's crashed. Wouldn't you just know it? Bugger iOS 5. It's a pile of crap.
Oh.
It's glitchy.
What OS do you mean?
iOS 5.
I'm
not allowed to disclose this crap.
No, I've had a few problems purchasing games as well in the store because it's iOS 5. So.
Why, it's a beta, my man.
And it's, well, exactly, but it's crashed again, you see, so there we go. But it does work. I have played it, and it's fantastic. It's, of all the flicky games like Flick Cricket, Flick Football, and that kind of stuff, Flick Golf is extremely good. It's Game Center that screws it up,
How much is it?
It's £2.39, I think it was, or £2.99. It's not super cheap. Here we go. So, basically, it's got infinite numbers of swipes, which make for some interesting ball movement.
It's flick fishing.
So here you go, look. You just sit there and you go, oh, hang on. This is great if you're listening to the audio podcast, isn't it? But then you give up and you just swipe your finger backwards like that and you put backspin on the ball and pull it back towards the screen. There you go. Look at that. Incredible shot.
So if you're wondering what to do with a tablet, there you go.
I love my iPad. I am addicted to my iPad. I take it everywhere with me. I watch stuff on it. I take it down to breakfast when I'm in hotels with my little MiFi and I sit and read the news on the BBC application. I get a lot of use out of my iPad. It's winner, chicken dinner.
Yes, twice in one show.
Where can we get a hold of you?
That's the show title.
No, I'm going with the real eye-opener.
What an eye-opener.
James, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
I found somewhere else I was online the other day, but I can't remember what it was. So I think twitter.com/syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y, would do for me. And there was a syzygy this week. There was a lunar eclipse, which counts.
Excellent. Those websites do expire, though, you know. Unless you pay the monthly fee.
Which ones?
The ones where you were on somewhere else.
Oh, right. Yes. I'm not letting you know the password. Thank you.
Damn. Mike, where can we get a hold of you?
This week, I will say you can find me on Twitter at imike, I-M-Y-K-E.
And Broshow and several other podcasts.
Yeah, broshow.co.uk, the podcasting project.
Dude, the idea of coming on here is to blatantly and shamelessly promote your own product.
Yeah, I know. I try and not do it too much. But I will say, I've got a new podcast launching hopefully next week. We'll speak more about that.
Nice,
my fourth.
Nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain.
Yeah, I know. I try and be nice.
Sarah, where can we get you, mate?
Well, you can get me on my website at sarahjaneuk.com or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
And not at Sarah Gray.
No, definitely not.
Up there, do apologise.
Sorry, don't worry about it.
She hasn't got many followers, though, so I don't think she's a real woman. and Eric, where can we get you, mate?
That would be my website and Twitter's website that is run by me, twitter.com/EricLanigan and ericlanigan.com, ericlanigan. That's where to go. I do shows. I do Tech Talk Back. That'll be posted later today. And check it out because it's the best thing ever. That's how you do it, Mike.
Blatant self-lovingness. Thank you, mate. Well done. We'll be back again next week with the big show on Thursday night as normal. We've got the photo show tomorrow at 11 o'clock with Alex and Kyle. And then we're back with the Max show with the usual suspects, including this week Andy and Natko again, because it's the third Friday of the month. So he'll be back on the show too. And then we can have a nice relaxing weekend, put our feet up and watch the rain pitter-patter against the window. We'll